missing the playoffs, seeing Tom win the Super Bowl, having people doubt him now, not having a franchise quarterback under contract, people saying, well, it was more Tom than it was you, and that whole damn debate. I don't care how many Super Bowls he's been to or how many he has won. I promise you, he is sitting somewhere right now going, okay. But I would bet he has now this year. I'll bet he comes out firing in a way you haven't seen in a long time.
There he is, Louis Riddick, making bold predictions. Bill Belichick versus everybody. I'm with it. Stephen A., do you agree with Louis here that Bill's going to go scorched earth?
No. I think that he'll have that kind of attitude. He's Bill Belichick and he's great, but it don't mean a damn thing if he don't have a quarterback. Louis Riddick can sit up there and talk about Bill Belichick all he wants to with the 8 championships and 6 as a head coach. You understand? But last time I checked, Bill Belichick can't go out on the field, stand kneel behind center, drop back, and throw the damn football from the quarterback position. He has to hope somebody can do it for him. Now, Bill Belichick being the genius that he is, and no one would dare question that, his coaching resume speaks for itself, and I would never try to impugn that because he's phenomenal. But the bottom line is that you can put dudes in the right place to win all the time. They've got to execute. Who's going to execute? That's the question mark. I'm quite sure Bill Belichick sees things before they do. Doesn't matter. Can't stop them from seeing what they see. Can't stop them from doing what they do. You can do your best, but ultimately, it doesn't work. Now, obviously, when we look at the Patriots last year, you had 8 dudes that called out for the season because of COVID-19. They didn't want to participate. And I think that had a devastating impact, which is why I think that Bill Belichick did a damn good job last year. And he's not to be, he's not to be insulted in any way. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is this. I don't want to hear about Bill Belichick and Scorcher. You mad? Well, hell, when have you looked happy? I don't recall Bill Belichick looking happy much, okay? Unless it's on Championship Sunday after winning the Super Bowl. That day, but all of those days preceding that day, he never looked happy any damn way. So what Louis Riddick is saying doesn't mean much to anybody else. Bill Belichick always looks that way. He always looks like he's ready to go scorched earth. He always looks motivated and unhappy and a bit truculent and acerbic and all of those other words that you want to throw out. It don't make a damn bit of difference. At the end of the day, that man needs a quarterback. He needs a quarterback, and the GM, that's Bill Belichick, needs to get whatever quarterback he chooses weapons to actually throw the football to. That's what he needs. All of that scorched earth stuff don't mean nothing. Don't mean a thing.
Well, I agree about the quarterback because the league has favored quarterbacks in the passing game to the point where it's a little less about coaching and a little more about talent than it used to be, I think, in the NFL, especially on offense. But I'm with Louis Riddick on this one. Louis, I'm with you. Bill Belichick, first of all, look what he was working with last year. 8 guys off the team to start the season who opted out because of COVID, including Hightower and Chung. Gilmore missed a bunch of games. I mean, these are the best defensive players they got. And they didn't have anything on offense. Name one offensive player that the Patriots had that another team would want to start on their team. Name one guy. You have any tight ends or wideouts that people are like, yeah, I want that guy. Or running backs. Not a single guy. So they had nothing on offense. And now, they have a quarterback rehabbing off a catastrophic injury who just missed a year. And Stephen A., you religiously say, not a thrower of the football really ever at an elite level, right? With that dude, who then himself got COVID. So now you got a new quarterback in a totally new system, the exact opposite of the guy you just had, rehabbing from an injury, missed a year, got to learn a new system, and you can't practice. You're missing your whole defense, and you can't practice. And then that dude gets COVID. So now you got to not only miss the quarterback and it lingers, right, the effects of COVID on his play, but you got to shut down the facilities. You can't even walk through stuff. It's impossible. Now, Louis, in spite of all this, the reason I'm with you, they won 7 games. They beat the Ravens. They beat Arizona. They beat the Raiders. They beat Miami. They came a play away from beating Buffalo and a play away from beating Seattle. So, yes, do I think, given a full preseason, given another year to get it together without opt-outs, Bill Belichick is going to come back and have a great year? Yes, I do.
Yeah, look, I think early on this past season, he understood. He saw what the writing on the wall was going to be. And whereas he was never coaching to just get through this season, I think he also understood that 2021 is when he was going to make his return, where he was going to have a bunch of cap space. He knew that he had to address quarterback, but he knew then he could kind of really restock the coverage for this football team. And I can tell you this, late in the season, talking to him during Monday night production meetings, there was a palpable sense of just frustration and disgust at how he wasn't able to get his team to play the way he was accustomed to getting it playing. And I've heard that. I've heard that sound in his voice before. I heard it when I was sitting in the amphitheater in Cleveland, in Berea, in the football facility when we weren't playing up to our potential. And I know how he comes out firing and with a renewed sense of urgency when he's feeling that way. Now, Stephen A., you're right. It isn't going to matter unless he goes ahead and addresses the quarterback position. And this is where I think you're going to see a change. And this isn't him saying it. This is me just predicting this or kind of forecasting this. I think you're going to see a change with which he approaches this offseason with a greater sense of urgency instead of sitting back and letting everything come to him, which is what he has had the liberty of doing, given the fact that he is who he is. They've had the success that they've had. And people basically said, well, if you want to win championships, just go to New England. I don't think anybody necessarily looks at it that way anymore, especially with number 12 not being there anymore. I think you're going to see a different approach as far as I'm going to be much more aggressive now. And number one, I know I got to take care of this quarterback position. And I know I've got to get us some wideouts on the perimeter. And this is the perfect year to do it. Number one in free agency and number two in the draft. And I see you, Stephen A. I see you out of the corner of my eye. I see you sitting there like this. I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. His approach is going to be different. Hold on, let me finish this. His approach is going to be different. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different. It's going to be much more aggressive. And Max, as you point out, look, with a roster that was just depleted last year, he still had people on the ropes over and over again until late in the season where he just couldn't do it anymore. You know, he couldn't do it with smoke and mirrors anymore. It's going to be a big year for him. Just mark my words. It's going to be a big year.
Fine. It's going to be a good year. Let me talk to you about something, Mr. Chippendales.
No, okay? I didn't say a good year. I said a big year.
Let me talk to you about something. I got you. A big year. Let me, a big year. Let me talk to you about something, Mr. Chippendales, all right?
Yeah.
You know, Smooth Daddy, got the collar open. You macking. I got it. And you've been chilling. Clearly, you were chilling a little bit too much. Now, I thought you did a fantastic job on Monday Night Football, but clearly, you were chilling a little bit too much when it came to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick sat back and let things come to him. Bill Belichick sat back and said, let me just let things come to me. Stop
you
it.
You missed the context with which I said that, Stephen A.
You missed
the context with which I just said that. In the offseason, Bill plays the patient game. He plays the long game better than anybody. He always has. But this year, his approach is going to have to be different.
Not with the wide receivers.
See, you know what,
Frank? Not with wide receivers. That's not true.
Okay, well, I'm saying overall he plays the long game better than everyone because of the fact that he doesn't like to delve into free agency the first 24, 48 hours. He understands that the time with which you make these transactions is critical. First 24 to 48 hours, players have all the leverage. That's where the worst deals are made. I think Bill's going to be a player early on. I think it's going to be one of these situations where he's going to have to be aggressive and recruit and get people to come to New England have people just saying, you know what? I think the approach is going to be much different.
Are you willing to admit that Bill Belichick, the GM, not the coach, not the great coach, Bill Belichick, the GM, has been subpar. Bill Belichick, the GM, has dropped the ball. Are you willing to admit that? And maybe it wasn't because he laid back. Maybe because it was arrogance because he was like, damn it, I'm Bill Belichick. This ain't about Tom Brady. I know what the hell I'm doing. Is that possible?
You know what? I think that's entirely possible. I think it's entirely possible that, you know what? Hey, look, this is a guy who's won everything there is to win in football. There's no question. I think that at some point in time, I'm sure he's a human being. I'm sure he feels as though, look, I've seen it all. I've had the answers to it all. And maybe he did drop it down a gear or two to where it wasn't up to his normal standard. That's where I'm saying this. This year, the way it played out, the frustration I heard in his voice, his quarterback that he drafted, his program developed, they won all those championships together, leaves, goes to a different organization. Everyone's saying, and look, it's pretty obvious right there in front of our face, this guy's having fun, this guy's living, you know, he's on boats, he's living in Derek Jeter's house. Bruce Arians is saying, I'm letting him coach, Tom's doing his own thing. And Bill's sitting there going, okay. So now everybody's going, well, maybe it wasn't Bill. Maybe we should go down here to Tampa and play with Tom. Heck, Tom is the one who's drafted. Tom's the one who's deciding if AB's coming back.
This is the point, Lewis.
If Shaq Barrett's going to get that.
Go ahead, Max.
I'm saying
He's going to come back with a vengeance.
We heard you. I'm going to come back at you. Go ahead, Max.
This is the point. The point is, whether you like it or not, Tom Brady set himself up love in Tampa. No doubt he set himself up to succeed, left the cupboard bare for Belichick. Whatever. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl year one. He didn't make the NFC Championship game. He won the Super Bowl. Went through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes, won the Super Bowl. So now everyone's saying the Patriot way.
Yeah, he did.
That's actually the Tom Brady way. And whether we like it or not, whether you think it's true or not, the fact of the matter remains, Bill Belichick's got something to prove right now. Bill Belichick's got something to prove. He's nothing more to prove. Lewis, you said it. He's seen it all. No. He's got something to prove. The greatest coach of all time has got something to prove. That hasn't been the case in a very long time.
Are y'all ready for this, Lewis? May I impart some words of advice and wisdom to Bill Belichick? Can I do it, Lewis? Would you allow me to do that? Is Bill Belichick watching? Is Bill Belichick watching?
It's your show, man.
Are you ready for this? Are y'all ready for this, y'all? Tom Brady goes to Tampa, right? He's got the roster. He's got beautiful sunshine weather. He's got no state income taxes. Maybe, just maybe, somebody needs to advise Bill Belichick, Lewis Riddick, that being a bit, you know, a stoic and dare I say a little truculent at times or whatever, why are you asking people to come to Foxborough, Massachusetts, where blizzards are just as normal as anything else? Maybe, just maybe, Bill Belichick, dare I say, Max Lewis, might need to modify his personality just a touch. Because instead of you saying, I'm Bill Belichick and we the New England Patriots and it's the Kraft family leading the way, maybe you need to think about bringing some sunshine to Foxborough, lighting it up a little bit. So Rob Gronkowski, because that's the key too. Remember, Rob Gronkowski was talking about it wasn't fun no more. He looked like he was having a lot of damn fun this last year in Tampa. Maybe, just maybe, Bill Belichick, you might need an old dog might need to be taught a few new tricks. Learn to enjoy life a little bit. And make sure those players do the same.
Hey,
dare I say that's possible.
He just needs some more horses.
I'm talking about to get the horses to come.
You know what? I will say this, though, Stephen A. Okay? Talking to him this year, he sounds different. Okay? This is a guy who right now, who obviously he knows he's much closer to the end of his career than he is to the beginning. And he, like I said, there's nothing for him to prove. But as Max says, there's something for him to prove. And I think this will be a comprehensive reevaluation of what he needs to do in today's day and age. You know, Nick Saban told me this too. When I talked to Nick, and I've heard Nick talk about this as far as how he changed his recruiting process down there at Alabama. Because, look, he's the same way. He's cut from the same cloth. I played for them both. I know they're almost one and the same, all right? And Nick said this. In recruiting, I had to change the way I approach some of these kids. Because in today's day and age, the kids want to know about this. What's good for me first? Tell me how this helps me to come to Alabama. Tell me how this helps me. Don't jam all this team stuff down my throat. Tell me what Alabama can do for me. And then Nick says, you know what? That's fine. I'll sell that to you. Because in the end, we're all going to benefit anyway when you buy into ultimately what you see that I can do for you. I think for Bill, although the professional level is different, I think the way in which he goes about recruiting certain players to come to his place because of the fact that Tampa Bay isn't Foxborough, we all know that. But I think players overall look at things much differently now. They value things a little bit differently now. And some of the shine has come off the Patriot way. I mean, that's obvious. So I think you're going to see his approach change both in terms of his aggressiveness and the way in which he recruits people. And I'll tell you this. I can't wait till 2021 training camp rolls around because you best believe this. I'm going to make that drive to Foxborough. I'm going to make that drive up there. I think this team is coming out firing.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Deshaun Watson continues to be one of the most talked about quarterbacks in the NFL offseason. And while there's not been much new news about what will happen next, it's been frequently pondered on our airwaves that the Chicago Bears might be an ideal destination for the quarterback to end up. Max, what do you think? Bears and Watson,
yep.
Good marriage?
Yes, I think it's the right place. Where do I think Watson winds up? I think Miami if they want him. I don't think anyone can compete with Miami in the package they can offer him. I think the Bears are actually the best long-term play, and I'll tell you why. And this is why I brought this up like in the beginning of January. The Chicago Bears and that fan base are as rabid as any football fan base in the world. Guys, just remember going back to the 80s, that Saturday Night Live skit, or maybe it was the early 90s, right? The Bears, remember all that? That was in the middle of Michael Jordan's prime. He was three-peating every time you turned around. But all they could talk about in popular culture was the Bears because Chicago cares more about that than anything else, than anything. And this franchise, the Bears, who have the greatest team of all time, the 85 Bears, have never gotten quarterback right my entire life. I'm not from Chicago, but, you know, in my entire life. But wait. The Bears are crazy about football. They're one of the original football franchises, and the 85 Bears never gotten the quarterback right. Jay Cutler's probably like the third best quarterback they've ever had in my lifetime. Jay Cutler! They've never gotten it right. And they're Super Bowl starved. Stephen A., if you win a Super Bowl in Chicago, oh my God, it's a whole new level of like the kind of icon you become in the American popular consciousness and the sports consciousness. And then from Deshaun Watson's point of view, so like that's a huge incentive for Watson, you would think. He could become an icon unlike other players who are playing today if he could become a champion in Chicago. From Chicago's point of view, obviously you want Deshaun Watson, you get quarterback right, but you also get to run back that draft where you messed it up with Trubisky. You passed on Watson. No, you get Deshaun Watson back. Stephen A., if they get Deshaun Watson, they put a few offensive line pieces together, that team would be ready to win now with that defense. It makes a whole lot of sense.
I love Chicago's defense. It's a damn shame that they've been subjected to Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles over the last season or two. You wish that they were better offensively because that defense is real. It's just that your offense does nothing for you, and ultimately you get tired from being overexposed, having to be on the field to cover for the mistakes that they make or the inefficiencies that they put forth, and as a result, the defense suffers. I get that. But you, Deshaun Watson, you can't be thinking about going to no damn Chicago. You can't be, don't even think about it. He's got a no trade clause. I mean, he's got a say in where the hell would you go. Listen, I like Allen Robinson. I do. David Montgomery is a 1,000-yard rusher. He's not a scrub. Tyreek Cohen, I'm a fan of his.
Yep.
All right? I get all
Behind
of that, all right? These are not all world players, but they can ball. They can ball. They're respectable. It's too damn cold in Chicago to be going there, Max. Are you crazy? You can't be Deshaun Watson and go to the Windy City. What's wrong with y'all? Oh no! Oh no! No! No!
Chicago.
I happen to know that Deshaun Watson watches me. He watches me on First Take. He watches me on Stephen A's World. He sees what I do. Listen, Deshaun Watson, do not think about going to Chicago. Max Kellerman, let me tell you something. Chicago is a marvelous city. I love Chicago. Chicago has been very, very good to me. I must admit, but I got to tell you something. That's from June to September. Come October, all the way through May. It's too damn cold. You can't have Deshaun Watson going there.
It's too hot in the summer.
At Soldier Field, Max, this man could actually throw a football and that bad boy might wave into the fans. The wind might take it right there. It might take it right to Lake Michigan. You don't know that. You can't be in that kind of situation. You can't expose yourself to that, especially when you got options like Miami, potentially. San Francisco, potentially, even though that cold weather coming out of the bay in the Pacific Ocean ain't no joke either. Plus, you got great whites and all of that stuff in there, but that's a different subject for another day. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about New York, media capital of the world. I'm thinking about Miami. Miami's number one. That's the number one option. You can't have options like that or Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco with George Kittle and Deebo Samuels and those boys and decide to go to the Windy City. He can't
Stephen
do
A,
that.
If
stay
you go
the hell away from Chicago.
San Francisco's more
if you're
ready
a quarterback.
To win.
You're a quarterback. Stay the hell away from Chicago.
San Francisco's more ready to win. No argument there. And it's an excellent spot for Deshaun if he winds up there. No one can compete with Miami.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, y'all, we saw the Lakers lose again last night. This was a beatdown in Salt Lake City by 25. They've now lost four straight. Big Perk in the building. Kendrick, top of the morning, more like afternoon, depending where you live right now. Good to see you. I'm going to start with you here, Kendrick. I'm going to switch things up.
Molly, go ahead. Before you start, all right, let me just say this. Vucevic. Because it tickles Stephen A.
Vucevic,
yesterday because I couldn't get it out. But this ain't no damn English class anyway. We talking basketball, so sometimes I may mess up names, but I was working on it last night. Vucevic. I got it.
You got
all right,
this.
There we go.
Yeah. Some of those Eastern European names.
Go. Easy name to
I appreciate
say.
You putting in the effort, you know, and making it happen. Don't worry. Stephen A. still can't say my last name. He's still working on it. We're on like year 10 right now.
Rose.
All right.
Rose.
You're up. Yeah, you can say Rose. That's great. Max got it. Are you giving the Lakers a pass for last night, Perk?
Yeah. You got to give them a pass. Look, let's not overreact to these four losses, and let's not overreact to them losing to the best team in basketball, which is the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz is putting everybody over their lap right now and giving them a spanking, especially when they go into Salt Lake City. Let us all remember, yes, I know Anthony Davis is out, but they are missing Dennis Schroeder, who is a huge part of this team and the Lakers' success. The only guy besides LeBron James that is able to create for himself and create for others. Here's another thing. When you're the defending champs, being a former champ myself, every team is going to give you their best shot every single night. And right now, the Lakers don't have, they're not at full strength. and they got to be prepared to get everybody best shot. And last night going into that Utah game, I knew they were going to lose. I thought they probably would have beat by 50 due to not having Dennis Schroeder and how great of a team the Utah Jazz, are. But here's the thing. This right here proved me wrong because I gave Rob Pelinka so much credit and said that the Lakers won in the offseason, but this has been a blessing in disguise for everyone, including the Lakers, because right now we're seeing that their role players are really not like that. This is our audition for them, and it's time for them to upgrade even more. Go out there and add more shooting. Maybe you could go get a guy like A.J. Redick. And they missed JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. Much respect to Marc Gasol, but he's not it right now. He can't guard pick and rolls. He's not a live threat at the rim. So you may have to go out and try to get a Hassan Whiteside or Andre Drummond. I knew going into that game last night that the Lakers were going to lose because they're shorthanded and Utah is a great team. So, yes, I am giving them a pass.
I'm not giving them a pass. And the reason why I'm not giving them a pass is because of what I saw from them defensively. Utah is a great team. They move the basketball exceptionally well. They're exceptionally well coached. I certainly can understand why the Lakers have problems offensively, but defensively, I'm going to look at them. They got blown out last night. And oh, by the way, in 9 of their last 10 games, they've given up at least 104 points. And they've been giving up triple digits on the regular over the last 9 to 10 games or so. So I'm looking at things from that perspective, and I think it's about effort. Certainly, offensively, you're going to have your struggles, and I totally understand it. And there are adjustments that Frank Vogel has to make until Rob Pelinka can get him some more help in the trade or whatever the case may be before the trading deadline expires specifically. We can deal with all of those things. But I'm just looking at things from an effort standpoint on the defensive side of the ball. I certainly don't expect them to look but so bad. I don't expect to witness wide open shots. I don't expect the interior to look like a layup line. You know, I don't expect those kind of things. I expect more from the Lakers in that regard. And that's all I mean. It's nothing to be overly alarmed about. We understand the loss of Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder is significant. We get that. I definitely agree with you, Big Perk, that Pelinka and those boys got to go out because of the audition that these guys have been going through. A lot of them aren't measuring up to snuff. All of that's true. But Frank Vogel is a head coach in the National Basketball Association because of what he preaches and what he teaches on the defensive side of the ball. And I didn't see much of that last night, and that was my issue.
Of course the Lakers get a pass for last night. Look, Perk said it. They're on the road against the hottest, if not best, team in basketball right now. If you had to say at this moment, not who you think is going to win the chip, anything, at this moment, who's the best team? It's Utah. They have replaced the Lakers since the AD injury as the only elite team on both ends of the floor. They're absolutely elite on both ends of the floor. And when you look at this roster, everywhere you look, there's a dude who makes a real positive contribution. Mike Conley's like an ideal point guard. Donovan Mitchell is a star and a bona fide superstar when you need him most. And even the fact that Ingles isn't starting, he's off the bench. And you have Royce O'Neal. They're like mirror images of each other, both competent on both sides of the floor. But Ingles is versatile offensively and good defensively, whereas Royce O'Neal is versatile defensively and good enough offensively. But O'Neal's defense is ridiculous, and he can really shoot the three. You look at every position, there's someone who's really making a positive contribution. Obviously, Gobert, you know, rolling to the basket, and the defense is there. Everywhere you look, they got a guy. So that's the Jazz right now. They're firing on all cylinders. Stephen A., you called out the coaching staff by name to give them their props, not just Quinn Snyder. I totally agree. They're a well-coached team being compared to the Spurs from several years ago, the way they move the ball, play unselfishly, the whole thing. And the Lakers, Perk hit it again. I brought it up at the top of the show. AD's gone. You're top heavy. You got two superstars. They make the role players better. One of those dudes is gone. But then also your third best player is gone. And Schroeder is the only guy other than LeBron. What I say earlier, he can not only get his own shot, but he can create for others. real? Like, I know Talen Horton Tucker's trying to do his thing. He can get his own shot, but is he really the guy who's going to be creating for others? So the Lakers are right now dead in the water against a team that's setting records, hitting threes every night. Like, you know, what are they supposed to do?
Big Perk, I'll be the first to admit, man, I'm kind of spoiled in this regard. You know, when I was a beat writer for the Philadelphia 76ers covering Allen Iverson and the crew, Allen Iverson was your lone offensive force. The George Lynch, the Eric Snows, the Aaron McKees, the Kevin Tumbles of the world, the people like that, you know, they could give you buckets every now and then. But the bottom line is they were basically a defensive-minded team. You knew that there were limitations offensively. But what Larry Brown, the great Larry Brown, the Hall of Famer that is Larry Brown, taught me is that when you have effort on the defensive end of the floor, you'd be surprised what you can do. And you may not always win, but you're always going to be in it. And when I see the Lakers give up 39 points in the second quarter and I see them basically bow out that early, that's what I'm looking at here when I'm talking about effort. I'm not looking at things just schematically. I'm not looking at just talent. I'm looking at the fact that you know what the circumstances and the situation is walking in to that particular encounter and what you've been looking at since you knew Anthony Davis would be out over the last 10 games. And I'm watching you defensively wilt. And that's what I'm keeping my eyes on, because I think a lot of that is about effort more so than anything else. And I'm not talking about LeBron James, because he don't owe us that. He gives what he's got, okay, and he needs help. But you got to help him.
Yeah, and look, Stephen A., that's a great point. But I'm going to say this. Last night game, it was just that the Utah Jazz, that young group, Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Royce O'Neal, those guys are just more athletic. Youth legs like Kyle Kuzma, Caldwell Pope, Wesley Matthews. It's nothing that they could have done with those guys last night. And I get what you're saying. It was times where the Lakers had lapses on the defensive end. I kept wondering to myself, how many times are they going to keep giving up lobs to Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors at the basket? But that's just a testament to how good and how dangerous the Utah Jazz is. And when, look, you brought up a good point earlier in the show when I was watching. The Utah Jazz are shooting 42 threes a game, and they're hitting 40% of them. I mean, you got to honor the three because they are lighting it up. And with that, you have a dynamic guy in Donovan Mitchell who has took a tremendous leap from last year. I'm not talking about him being able to get buckets. We know he all can score the basket. I'm talking about now he has taken that next step to superstar. What the great KG used to always tell me, you know how you can superstar separate themselves is when they start making others around them better. And that's what he's doing right now.
Jordan Clarkson.
Utah Jazz team is just serious.
Jordan Clarkson is six-man candidate of the year. Jordan Clarkson looks better than I've ever seen him look.
He's right. He's actually
Anything
excellent
is possible.
Now. Not just
Shout
scoring
to KG.
For a bad
All right,
team.
Let's
He's
go
an
to the Celtics,
player.
Guys. Big Perk, I asked the guys this earlier in the show. The Celtics have been struggling. They've lost 8 of 11. They were trailing at the half 72-49, went to lose by 15 to the Hawks. Perk, you think Brad Stevens should be on the hot seat right now?
Hell yeah, he should be on the hot seat. And look, here's the sensitive subject for me, because you know how embedded I am with the Boston Celtics and the city of Boston. You know, that's my home away from home. But yes, because I'm watching this Celtic team and they lack accountability. When you have an old guy, old veteran, like Gallinari, who lights you up for 38 points last
night. Let him
up. And I'm not taking nothing away from him because he still can shoot the ball. But you have enough athletic wings in Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Shimmy Ogilvy, Grant Williams to actually go out there and guard him, and they're not doing it. It shows me that Brad Stevens is just getting walked over. They talking about, oh, it's not Brad Stevens. That's not his defender. He's not a guy that hollers. Then what the hell are you here for if you're not going to hold guys accountable? I watched Jason Tatum last night and games before that. Oh, pout and complain to the referees. Take bad shot after bad shot. I watched Jaylen Brown not sprint back on defense. That's lack of accountability. That is coaching not getting on their superstar players. And then to top it off, You watch a guy, and I love Tristan Thompson. I'm watching him catch the ball at the free throw line area, and he's trying to show everybody that he could go between his legs and take a guy off the dribble. That's lack of accountability, and that's saying I could do what I want as a role player, and that's disturbing. I'm watching Daniel Tice walk into three-pointers at the beginning of shot clocks. Soon as they cross half court, the ball swung his way. Instead of him going into a quick dribble handoff, he's stepping into a three-point shot.
Question for you, Big Perk. Question for you, Big Perk. I'm going to give you my time because I want you. Question for you. If that was Doc Rivers instead of Brad Stevens, could you tell a national audience what would have happened if the stuff you pointed out was happening with Tatum and Tice and all of those? What would Doc Rivers have done?
If that was Doc Rivers, then what happened?
And those things that you just explained guys were doing on the basketball court with no accountability. If that was Doc Rivers, your coach in Boston when y'all won the title in 08, when you went to the finals in a game 7 in 2010, what would Doc Rivers have done if stuff like that was happening?
Oh, he would have met us at half court. He would have called timeout and would have met you at half court and got on you. I remember one time I called myself taking a free throw line jump shot. Doc subbed me out in the first 2 minutes of the game and told me, know your role, be a star in your role, and set me to the second half and put Big Baby in. But look, here's another thing. Guess what? If that was Doc Rivers right now coaching this team, this same team minus Gordon Haywood that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, this Celtic team that we like wouldn't be surprised, got high hopes to maybe come out of the Eastern Conference, he would be on the hot seat and people would be calling for his job. Hell, he might be fired by now. So don't give me all this. This is not Brad demeanor. What is he there for? What is he there for if he's not going to hold people accountable?
I would say this, Perk. There is legitimate criticism of Brad Stevens. You know, like start with Robert Williams. Why isn't he starting at the five? He should be starting, and they should ride him as long as they can for his defense. No. There are things that I disagree with Brad Stevens here and there. Everyone can do a better job, and everyone's up for evaluation, including Brad Stevens. But the bottom line is, the Celtics kind of get a pass too, like the Lakers. Kemba Walker is not Kemba Walker. Hasn't been this season. Let's be honest. And they got three guys they get their offense from. And right now, I'm not making excuses for guys for not hustling, but Marcus Smart is the linchpin of the defense in that way. He's also the other guy who can handle in the backcourt. So you're missing two pieces that help your team go. The Celtics don't have the margin for error that other elite teams do. They can't have no real Kemba Walker and also not Marcus Smart.
No, Max.
And then also not get a good enough effort. I agree with. But
Max,
that's more roster construction than coaching.
They got their two all-stars. They got their two rising stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
They're supposed to have three.
They have zero excuses for being two games under 500. In the Eastern Conference.
Let me get in here. Max Kellerman, you're wrong. And the reason why you're wrong is because if we're sitting here and we're talking about a team that's winning, but they may not make it back to the conference finals, that's a different argument. We're talking about a Boston Celtics team that's under 500. There is no excuse for a team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the sport of basketball to be under 500. That is about the coach not having the pulse of the team. Because we know that Brad Stevens knows what he's doing. We know that he knows what he's doing from an X's and O's standpoint. They've been to the conference finals three times in the last 4 years. He's won 56% of his games. We know that he knows what he's doing. So what is it? There does come a point in time where you have to ask yourself the question, are you the voice in the ear of the player that can get them to maximize whatever potential they have? And what KP is pointing to, what Kendrick Perkins is pointing to, is a coach. Nobody's questioning his acumen. Nobody's questioning his competence. Nobody's questioning what he is, his resume. What you're looking at right now is saying, are these players tuning him out? Danny Ainge is going around the public circuit in Boston talking about, yo, we're not giving effort. We're not giving enough effort. When the executive of the team is talking about the effort of the players, without saying so, he is talking about the coach. Because that is the coach's job, to make sure
that
you are maxed out effort-wise. And that's not what's happening in Boston right now. And if it were anybody else, we'd say
something. That's fair, but guys, like, they have a couple of real good scoring wing guys, right? They run too many ISOs, and as I said, certain guys could be getting more minutes. They really, the real issue is the guy who's really supposed to organize and coordinate the offense isn't really there in Kemba. It hasn't been Kemba this year. And the heart and soul of the defense is really Marcus Smart, and he's not there either. So you can point to Brad Stevens, and I'm not saying you're not making legitimate points, but before you do, I have to look at the roster. That's Danny Ainge, and I got to look at injuries.
Not if you're under 500. Not if you're under 500.
But Max, you gotta look at how the Celtics been playing. Look, two nights ago they played the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay, they were up 24 points, and the New Orleans Pelicans came and walked it down and had the best comeback in franchise, and beat the Boston Celtics. Do you know the Celtics right now in seven straight games have given up 30 plus points to individuals? So they're coming in and saying, you know what, we can get whatever the hell we want. And Max, on my side, away from ESPN, you know what I do, right, Max? I cover the Celtics game. I do the Celtics broadcast for the local network. So I got a close eye on them. I'm watching these rotations. I'm watching these guys not fight to get up over screens, not sprint back in transition, not boxing out, not closing out to a guy like
Gallagher. And not hearing anything from the coach.
Letting him have a field day. That's what I'm saying. And that, to me, it's a repeated cycle, and they're not hearing whatever the hell Brad Stevens is talking about in the film room, period.
Are you ready for this, KP? Other than you, you know who's the most popular voice we hear critiquing the Boston Celtics? Cornbread Maxwell. That's what we're hearing. We ain't hearing from Brad Stevens. I mean, last night was the first time I've ever seen Brad Stevens look remotely demonstrative and concerned. Because guess what? He's starting to feel it now because enough noise is being made. But usually if you want to hear something that's wrong with the Boston Celtics, you need to look at Cedric Maxwell. Cornbread Maxwell. Call a game. Do a color on the games. That's who you need to look for. And now Kendrick Perkins. Because you damn sure wasn't getting it from Brad Stevens. You wasn't getting it from Danny Ainge. Where you been? And again, we know that Danny Ainge is an exceptional executive. We know that Brad Stevens has proven to be an exceptional coach. But do you have the ear and the pulse of your players? If not, guess what? You could have traded Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart for James Harden. Houston wanted to do that. Boston did not. You wanted to keep the people in place because Danny Ainge believes, and I think rightfully so, he did the right thing by not letting go of Jaylen Brown because I think he's a stud. But if you believe in Jaylen Brown and you believe in Jason Tatum, you can't find under 500 ball acceptable, Max. You cannot do that.
Jaylen Brown's having his best season. I mean, like, let's look at the development of the players. I've mentioned Robert Williams. They're missing both basically point guards on the team. And so they're a little under 500 in a division, on a conference that's gotten much better. So can Brad Stevens be doing more? Yeah, sure. As I mentioned, I pointed out a few things. But to use him as the fall guy right now, I don't think is right. I think roster construction, if I had to pick between Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge put the roster together. Danny Ainge is relying on all the offense from three dudes, and one of them's not there right now. He's hurt.
Yeah, but Max, I'm telling you this.
Let's keep it moving,
they
guys.
They have more than enough, and they're not supposed to be two games under 500. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown has been their majority of
they're
the
season.
They're
finishing over 500.
Okay.
All right. Facts.
Marcus,
let's keep
Smart's
it rolling,
back.
Guys. I said the Celtics lost 8 of 11. The Miami Heat have won 8 of 11, and that's where I want to go right now. Their fourth consecutive game after defeating the Toronto Raptors 116-108. Things looking good for Jimmy Buckets and the squad. Stephen A., what do you think of the Heat right now?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's about what we think about the Miami Heat. I think it should be about what we make of Stephen A. Smith, the ultimate motivator. I show up on national television last week. I'm saying, damn it, Miami. I'm trying to get to South Beach. What the hell is going on with y'all? Y'all sticking up the joint. And what do? They win four straight. Jimmy Butler, my brother. That way to go. All right, Tyler Hero and the crew. Bam Adebayo and the crew. Yeah. Excuse me. I was the president. Hey, Max, Molly, who was more depressed than me than last year, the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Finals, and because of COVID, we were stuck home.
I waited
25 years, KP, to have a finals in South Beach and L.A. South Beach and La, and then it happens, but COVID holds us back. So now I'm looking for Miami this year, and I'm like, listen, Pat Riles, Eric Spoelstra, even Tim Donovan, Rob Wilson and the crew, love y'all, Andy Ellsberg, you know, those are my brothers. Excuse me, I'm looking for Miami to do something. And I had to speak up against them. And once I spoke up, Stephen A., the ultimate motivator, the one that was summoned to Tuscaloosa by Nick Summon, the one that was summoned to Clemson, all right, the one that sat up there and spoke out against the Miami Heat. I speak out, and the next thing you know, they undefeated. Thank you very much.
Well, all I can say... That's all I can say, Stephen A. Sometimes if you don't toot your own horn,
you need to use one arm to lift the other arm. Come on, start stretching.
I'm just saying, Molly. All I'll say is, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic get healthy and then suddenly the Heat's was Eric Spoelstra on the hot seat before this? Or did they get healthy and now they're better?
Excuse me.
Which one?
Eric Spoelstra is a two-time champion.
On the hot
Watch your mouth. Eric Spoelstra is a two-time champion. Watch your mouth.
Hold on. By the way, no, Spoelstra's great, but give Brad Stevens, LeBron, and Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, and he'd win a championship too, at least one.
Max, let me say this, and I'm glad we went straight from the Celtics to the Heat, and now you sitting up here saying it's because of Goran Dragic being healthy and Jimmy Butler, and rightfully so.
And Jimmy Butler.
It's about Eric Spoelstra, okay? It's about coaching, and let me tell you why. Who was starting at the beginning of the season, Max? Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was not flourishing well at the starting point guard position. What did Coach Eric Spoelstra do? He inserted Kendrick Nunn. And ever since Kendrick Nunn been in the starting role, they have been taking off. That's coaching. That's accountability. Go ahead, Molly. You just hold his L
Hero
today,
again,
Max.
Right?
No, Stephen A., just like this next time. I can't see you do this again.
It was my speech. It was my speech.
You need do a little yoga.
Speech.
Just stretch out a little.
Motivational
a little
speaker.
Too stiff.
Yes.
You're on TV too much. You need to move.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.